Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales. And this morning's conversation is with John Gehring, Chief Information Officer of the Defense Information System Agency. Also joining us in our conversation is John Thomas. John, DISA has transformed over the years from a telecommunications provider to a computer hosting and now network services provider. How has this affected the organization of the agency?
Well, transform is a big word, and we use it a lot. I've been in DISA for just 8 years next month. In the 5 years of our previous director, we reorganized three times. And some people cringe and, in fact, even mock that. But I found that the Fortune 500 reorganizes at least part of their company every 11 months to maintain relevance in the marketplace. And DISA, I think, is to be given credit for taking the having the guts, the courage to undertake reorganization. So we went through a major one 22 months ago when, in fact, my office was created. And the theme we followed was one of, if I get them all right, six mandates. First was becoming an acquisition organization that can, in fact, lead major acquisitions like the Global Information Grid Bandwidth Expansion and NetCentric Enterprise Services. And now we have a component acquisition executive who has the same authorities virtually as the service acquisition executives. So that was one element. The second was concentrating our engineering in one main body using home teaming so that the engineers have a career monitor and manager that's in the engineering organization while they may work someplace else, but we put the muscle in under one leader for engineering. The third was to create an organization that would help us do what we call NetOps. NetOps is not an abbreviation. It's, some call it network operations. It's more than that. It's the operation and the defense of the Defense Department's network. Network here meaning data, voice, video, transport layer, the broadest definition you can think of network. And we wanted to make sure we had an operations organization that could, in fact, support what is now called the Joint Task Force Global Network Operations, who is JTF-GNO, who is charged with operating and defending the network. The fourth was sustainment. We acquire, engineer, and operate. In the middle is the guy that does the maintenance, the guy that provides the network day-to-day, makes sure it's tuned and operating, provides the data center, and hosts the applications that we're responsible for. The fifth is financial transparency. Our goal is to get a clean audit opinion by 2007, and we have reorganized a bit and retooled to make sure that we had the right people and the right processes in place to lead us to that clean audit opinion, including getting some new people. And the sixth and final is governance, to make sure that we were able to provide the oversight needed to become a cost-based organization, to understand what our customers were expecting of us and to be able to deliver that. And that's partly why my organization, Strategic Planning and Information, was formed, is to be part of that governance process, not all of it, but part of it.
That's a very impressive list of objectives. How do you see your specific role in achieving those priorities?
I smile because sometimes I feel like a confessor. my people are at the heart of most of what goes on in DISA. Either something touches a policy aspect or touches a programmatic funding aspect or touches something to do with the CIO itself, that organization itself, or touches information. So we get involved in almost everything that goes on. And the director and the vice director turn to my organization for a lot of advice, a lot of counsel, sensing what a customer may really want or not want, sensing what the mood is in OSD on a particular subject, paving the way for something that's controversial and, you know, laying the groundwork and doing the requisite, I'll call it schmoozing, that needs to be done. So we're pretty much at the center of this, and I'm not saying it to brag, it's just the way he created the organization, and that's it takes people like I have working with me to do that, good, strong, smart, savvy, street-smart people. So we're pretty much at the center of a lot of that goes on, and it's a role that's hard, but it's a role that's also a lot of fun.
John, you've mentioned your director, or you mentioned the director's role as the Joint Task Force for Global Network Operations. You've been quoted as saying that DOD needs more coordination in the procurement of network systems and the management of the network. Could you elaborate on that?
The two parts of that question. One is on acquisition, one is on the management. Eventually, we're going to have to come to the realization that there is one enterprise in the Department of Defense, not several, not one for each service and one for each agency and one for each combatant commander. There is one enterprise. It's a single network, many components. And how you define single, is it all managed by an organization, or is it a combination of networks that are singly overseen and commanded, if you will, allowing individuality among the services, but with common standards? We have to come to the realization that the data that the Department of Defense has is not anybody's data. It's the Secretary of Defense's data. He owns it. And to me, truly net-centric, that means that we have to have data on the network that's discoverable, authentic, trusted, timely. And to do that, there have to be rules about what is put on the network, what's allowed on the network, how it's managed and controlled. And from my point of view, you cannot do that with, you know, seven or eight master chefs in the kitchen. You need a master chef and a lot of chefs to help him or her out. So from an operations point of view of the network, you're going to need a master chef. And that doesn't mean he's like a heart surgeon. The heart surgeon doesn't do all the cutting and sewing, but he's there overseeing what's going on. Everybody has their own specialties. So you need an orchestrator. And the JTF GNO is the beginning of that. That's going to take, I think, a number of years to mature fully. On the acquisition piece, I listened to General John Jumper, who's the Chief of Staff of the Air Force, talk about we're all about programs, we're all about platforms, and we're not about an enterprise. And the way that the department, acquires systems now is on a program-by-program basis. And the programs produce hardware capabilities over time based on their individual program charters. And that has led to some gaps and capabilities. For example, if you look at the transport, the gig bandwidth expansion is going to be finished this fall. The Joint Tactical Radio System, which is the tactical end for bandwidth, improved bandwidth, is 5 or 6 years away, I guess, from full maturity. And the transformational satellite architecture is another 7 or 8 years from now, or maybe longer than that. So we have the gig BE in place with a lot of bandwidth. And then we have gaps. We have the legacy, the satellite, and whatever else is there. Not the high bandwidth we need to go into denied areas like Afghanistan. And then we produce things like high power applications. And the capability that NCES is going to start, NetCentric and Enterprise Services, will start producing in 2007. And some liken that to driving a high-powered Maserati on a dirt road. You got all that power, and you can't go over 30 miles an hour. So there needs to be synchronization of capabilities. And I think what you're also seeing now is inquiring minds asking, okay, what is the return on investment for all these bucks we're putting into these programs? What capabilities are we producing when? So we're starting a poor man's version of what we call a net-centric roadmap. And it's looking at the applications, the systems, the capabilities that DISA is responsible for producing, and seeing if they were left unattended, what would they deliver when? And seeing how much overlap is being produced, where the gaps are, and what technology is going to allow. And we've chosen 3 years arbitrarily that they go along with our budgeting process, but 2008, 12, and 16. And we're going to draw kind of marks in the sand, lines in the sand, to look at what those programs we have are delivering when, what the technology is going to allow us in 2008 and 2012, what we think it'll allow us, and then maybe adjust our planning and our resourcing to cover the gaps and eliminate duplication. Let me give you an example. The term collaboration. There are some 30 or 35 programs that either are collaboration in nature or rely on collaboration. As long as collaboration is a web service that is an icon on a piece of glass that you click on, nobody should care where it comes from. We get in religious wars, though, about is it this program or is it that program, whatever. There are a number of video collaboration services being produced. We probably ought to have one or two, and not seven or eight, and take the money that was going to be spent on those other extras and put it someplace else into a gap that we might have found. So the idea behind the net-centric roadmap is to find what we're doing. And that may sound silly, but we're about projects, we're about programs, we're about platforms, we're not about capabilities necessarily. Find out what our programs are producing, look at the capabilities that we need, look where the gaps are in duplication, adjust the planning and resourcing, and try to get some capabilities-based planning done instead of program-specific planning done. If we're successful with this, we will team with Joint Forces Command and others, Strategic Command, to broaden and export this to the rest of the department if we can.
John, it sounds like this is right in the center of jointness. How is DISA approaching this from the coalition perspective?
Well, that's a $64 question. I think in our strategic planning visits and in the inquiries we made to the combatant commands about our 500-day plan, that is the single biggest, most asked about capabilities, coalition information sharing. And we haven't got a good answer for that right now. There are a number of systems that allow us to share on an ad hoc basis, in some cases on a predictable basis, with our allies, our coalition partners. But if you look at the tsunami relief at the end of December, there was a come-as-you-are coalition built with partners that we probably hadn't thought of using. Not just other countries, but also non-governmental organizations as well. And we have to be able to talk among themselves. First responders, strategic partners, guys who fly in fighter planes next to our people, people who understand, like in the tsunami relief, the culture of the country and where how the place is laid out and what the road infrastructure is like, and be able to share that in a network, some of it classified, some not, is difficult. So there's a lot of pressure being put on all of us in this business to find an answer. It's not going to be a silver bullet. Find an answer to the information sharing. And it's probably going to be in the information assurance architecture, which is a different way of approaching this. It's more identity-based. There's another thing, if I can do one little an opinion here. All of us were brought up in a culture where the information is owned by the producer of the information who controls the need to know, especially in the classified arena. Net-centric turns the apple, and now it's really consumer-based, and we have to assume that the consumer needs the information to do his or her job, and making sure that he or she has the permissions to get it is a more positive way of looking at it than saying he has to prove the right to or the need to know. And that's a getting at the heart of the coalition problem as well. And this is a hard problem that everybody in OSD and DISA and the services and combatant commands are talking about.
John, is the issue any easier or just as difficult closer to home with respect to the emphasis on homeland security with increased communications between federal, state, local, and tribal government entities?
In some regards, I think it's easier. In some regards, I think it's harder. And part of that has to do with the funding. DHS has its source of funding. OSD has its source of funding, Department of Defense. And we've got to make sure that we give to Caesar what is Caesar's here and not cross-pollinate. But having said that, U.S. Northern Command's job is to, if I can use the word broker, the relationship with in Homeland Security and Homeland Defense and how Department of Defense helps. And under their leadership, we're beginning to take these pieces on one at a time. But it's going to be a long time before we have ubiquitous information sharing where a fighter pilot can talk to a fireman. It's going to take a while to do that.
Well, it certainly is going to keep us busy for a while. What are some of the challenges associated with meeting the evolving customer mission changes? We will ask DISA CIO John Gehring to explain this to us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.